Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. This is episode 70. This is our February the 8th edition of the Patient Players Podcast. I am your host, Daniel, joined by my wonderful co-host, Jordan. How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm your co-host, Jordan. I'm here to have a blast.
I was listening to last week's episode, Jordan, and I realized a fatal mistake in that when you were talking about how sore you were, you said that you were a Jordan sore. You didn't say that you were Sorden.
Oh, that's good. How did I miss that?
I think you just need to publicly apologize for that before we move on.
Well, to be fair, I didn't say the Jordan sore either. That was your joke. So therefore, the blame is on you.
But that means that you didn't come up with any joke.
That's fine. Who says I need to be funny every time? Not me. I'm actually I'm a very somber, serious man.
In fact, what was it from last week that you just trying your best to answer the questions realistically is the funniest part?
Yes. In fact, my middle name is Serious Sam. So they called me Jordan Serious Sam podcast in high school. I didn't have a podcast back then, so they thought the last name was a little weird.
Well, but, I mean, it was just natural. One thing led to another, and here we are in episode 70.
Exactly. You know, someone was making fun of me for recording my podcast the other day, and I was like, you know what? You know what? This is my girlfriend's dad, by the way, so he has every right to make fun of me for reasons. But I was like, you know what, Mr. Girlfriend Father? This is like the fourth podcast I've been on. And every single time they end at like episode 4. So the fact that we're on 70 right now, that's a pretty good... If we graph this out, it would be like boop, 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 bonk, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like graphs of podcast episodes over time is different than like graphs of number of podcasts each of my individual podcasts get to until they are dead.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I totally forgot that. I found like another one that I had totally forgotten about that I did with Sam and another friend of ours that lasted, I think it was like 7 episodes.
Okay.
But I was kind of like the guy who stood off to the side and made a funny joke every once in a while, but they did most of the talking. It was really awkward, actually, for me. It was.
You're not used to being the comic relief?
Yeah, but like nothing else. I didn't say anything else because I didn't know what to say because they talked so much. You know, two people.
It's like having two me and only one of you.
Exactly. I couldn't say anything. I'd be like, I don't know what to do. It was very strange. I kept telling them, like, guys, I don't need to be on this with y'all. I really feel like I'm kind of cutting into your thing. But no.
They're just happy to have you there. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. If this is your first time, this is a podcast about video games. We do what we call gaming in the slow lane here, where we're going to be talking about maybe updates to games we're already playing or going back and playing old games we missed the first time around much more often than we're jumping on brand new games when they first come out. So we're just going to be talking about what we have experience in, what we're playing week to week, hear a little bit about our lives. And then after we talk about our discussion points each week, you're going to have the best part of the podcast, the question and answers section, where Jordan and I are going to be answering your questions on the air here on the podcast. And you can ask those questions via the Twitch channel. We're at twitch.tv/patientplayers when we do our live recordings, if you want to follow us there. Or you can send in an email, thepatientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And lastly, you can find all of this stuff over at patientplayers.com/listen. That one link will have everything you need to join us on Discord, follow us through Twitch, all those different things. So we appreciate you coming in and joining us on the podcast, but let's see what we have to talk about today. How has your week been, Jordan?
I almost made business cards this week for the podcast, actually.
Ooh.
Speaking of you know, you're talking about our lovely URL that we have.
Yeah.
Miranda she loves business cards, apparently. Okay. She's like, one of her favorite sites is, I forgot what site it is. It's some site for like print, like ordering cards and craft stuff and whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, she was like, you should make business cards for your podcast. And I was like, I don't know if business cards is the right way to share.
That's a great idea.
You think so?
You know what you do? You know what you do?
Yeah.
You get a QR code.
Oh, yeah. No, we already talked about QR code. Like, that's...
Yeah, you link to the Spotify, so you just scan it and you're listening. You don't even have to type in anything.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say you link to the link tree, I think.
No.
No.
That's too many clicks. You got to get them, like, in there, right? Like, they want to listen to the podcast. They don't care about our social media. They want to listen to the podcast.
Can you have a URL that autoplays when you like go to it? Probably not.
You can link a Spotify autoplay link and turn that into a QR code.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
I think this will work out.
Yeah, you know, Spotify has 144 million users.
That's not too surprising to me. I mean, I use Spotify for pretty much all my music. It's like why I don't care enough about music to go out and buy individual music. And so it's just a very convenient way to listen to music.
And apparently they're losing money. Like their business model is a negative business model because most of the people are free users using more value than their ads are giving out.
Oh, I see.
So that's embarrassing.
Huh. But they haven't converted enough people to the premium.
Yeah, that's a lot of users, though.
True.
It's crazy. True. But anyway, I think having... at first I was iffy, and then I started like putting together like a fake or just a test template, and I was like, you know, this does kind of look really nice. It's got the logo, Patient Players Podcast. It says a show about gaming in the slow lane, you know.
Nice.
Because I didn't want to put like We Do Love. I don't think that really draws in or really explains what our thing is. I can hide it on there somewhere, though. That's a good idea.
Do it in like the font you can only see when it's like reflective.
We do love. Shiny. We do shiny love.
What was the one from last week? We suck, but in a good way.
Yes.
Or we suck in a funny way.
Yes. Yeah. So I may still do that and then conveniently leave them around places I go to. Basically littering my service.
You got to make sure to reserve a bunch for that Canadian market that just loves us for some reason.
The background would be like syrup bottles and Meeson.
I actually haven't checked in like 2 weeks. I'm going to check right now if the great Canadian bot invasion is still going on, because it died down for a few weeks and there was not nearly as many people that were interested. Let's see. No, it looks like the Canadians have ceased their attack on the podcast. Yeah. It turns out January the 11th. No, the 18th. That was the last week with the Canadians. Sorry, that was just a weird thing. You can go back and listen to the end of the year episode. We'll talk a little bit about that if you're confused as to why we're talking about Canadians. But this week, there were some video games. Maybe not as many as every week, but we played a game together.
Play a game together. A new game that you actually bought for me out of the blue at like 2 o'clock in the morning, or 1:30 in the morning. I was asleep by then. I wake up to an email from Daniel that says you have a new game.
Yes.
And I was very confused.
But you like getting gifts.
Extremely. I do. But I was also confused. I was like, is it my birthday? Did I forget? Is it like our anniversary? Do we have an anniversary?
What could this be the anniversary of? You got to think of all the different opportunities.
What does the heart stand for on the calendar?
Oh, hey, I get that. I get the pop reference because
you watched the show. I'm so happy.
I do.
But yeah, I had never heard of this game. In fact, I forgot the name of it again.
This game that I purchased for you and for myself is a game called Gunfire Reborn. It is actually has a negative age because it is not out yet. It is early access. It is playable, but it is not released.
It's the Benjamin Button of game releases.
If you're hearing the podcast on this fine February the 8th, you can actually pick it up on sale right now. It's not even out. It's already on sale. It's like a $12 game normally, so it's on sale for like $9.50. Definitely a impulse buy, and a very, very good game. It is on sale until the 11th. That's Thursday the 11th, so go take a look if you like what we have to say about it. But yes, I heard of this game via the Panini Arcade webcomic, and I went and looked at it and was like, that looks fun and is cheap, and it seems like a great thing to play with friends. And it's also described to be very much like Borderlands. And I was like, I know somebody who likes Borderlands.
It's me.
And so I purchased it for you. And then for myself as well, because I had some Steam gift cards. I just used the gift cards on myself because that's just how I do things. And we've played it a couple times and it's very, very fun. This game, if you've not heard of it, it's got like a little bit of everything that's popular nowadays. It's got random loot. It's got roguelike progression. It's got character classes. It's got shooting people in the head. It's got cute fuzzy animals. It's got like cell shading. I would say it's got a look that's not unlike Risk of Rain 2, like very low detail textures. The characters are like, I don't know how to describe the characters. They're little anthropomorphized animals with clothing and guns and stuff like that. And
the,
then there's
the character you start off with honestly reminds me of Puss in Boots from Shrek.
That's true.
A little bit. Yeah. With guns.
A little bit, but with guns, yes. And
Polygon. Kitty cat.
And it is roguelike, so you start and you have like three worlds you're fighting through with three bosses and you're trying to beat the whole thing. And when you die, you start all the way over. But as you go, you are picking up items that are making you stronger and you're getting different builds based on these random drops. So very roguelike elements, like a lot of games that are popular out there right now, like Hades or Dead Cells, that kind of thing. But the moment-to-moment gameplay is very Borderlands. Like, you walk into a room, there's like nine dudes, you gotta shoot them, numbers fly out of them, shooting them in the head, bigger numbers fly out. Sometimes they have shields, sometimes they have like fancy energy shields you have to break through, sometimes they have actual physical wall shields, sometimes they shoot from very far away, sometimes they charge you and do melee attacks, sometimes they spawn little beetles to attack you. Like, there's all sorts of enemies with different strategies and weak points, and then there's just a bunch of crazy guns, and that's what makes it super fun. Depending on what guns drop, and then you get like weird passive buffs that you can pick up. And so whereas one run you could be playing the same character and be playing like, oh, by the way, you're just always on fire, but being on fire makes you stronger and you're lighting everything else on fire and exploding everything. Or you could be like using a sniper and like when you hit someone in the head, it just explodes everyone around them. And it's just very, very wild every time you play it.
It's very fun. Yeah. Also, fun fact, the term roguelike, do you know where that comes from?
It's from a very old game called Rogue, and you can be roguelike or roguelite. And roguelite is when you still have some things carry over round to round. But roguelike is whenever you completely start over every time.
Yeah, the 1980 video game Rogue, which was just an ASCII game. ASCII?
Yep.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Yep.
That's crazy. It wasn't even like a real game.
That's hilarious. It's a real game. It's just an old game.
A game that you run in a terminal?
Yes.
Is that still a game?
Yes, it's an old text-based game.
Okay. Okay. I guess back in the day, like, everything was run in a terminal, right?
Yes.
Okay.
My candle went out. I have to relight it.
Oh, no. That is sad.
Oh, no. My match went out. What is happening?
Oh, my goodness.
I can't light anything on fire.
It's the ice inside your soul.
I guess. So what are your thoughts on Gunfire Reborn? You've played a little less than I have, because you only played it with me, I think, for one night or two nights, right?
Yes, I've played significantly less. It's wonderful. It's incredible. For $9, like, yeah, it's all the value that you need for a $9 game, especially if you have friends. It is a buddy game, if you will. Still fun alone, from what I've seen you playing it as, but I'm sure there's more fun to be had in it with buddies, especially being able to res your friends. I think that's a big game changer.
Yes, and you can have up to four people, so I imagine it can get very, very hectic. The loot is not shared unless you share it between each other, so you're not like fighting over,
which is wonderful,
all of the different upgrades. But if it's like, hey, I already have a good gun, I don't need this one, you can share it with a friend, which is cool.
Yes, I love that.
I haven't played it that much more than you. I did maybe one or two runs the first night I got it before we played together. And then I did it, of course, with you, and we got very far. We had the best run I had had up until then, all the way to the second boss, which was very difficult. And we almost got it, like just about got it. If I had just shot the boss instead of trying to rescue you, I think we could have got it.
Forgot about that. Yeah. So close.
And then since then I've played. Okay. So another thing I want to talk about is I upgraded my controller. I actually had my Elite controller, remember, that broke a while ago? Well, I repaired it, and then I sold it, and then I bought the Series 2. So I have the Series 2 controller now, and I have not had a good chance to use it. It's just been sitting in a box for about 2 or 3 weeks because of all the stuff going on in my life recently. Didn't have a chance to sit down and just play any games with it. But I wanted to try it out, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out, and I had just purchased a couple things, like a dongle for the Switch that lets me use it, and a few other things. So I'll come back to that because I want to talk about that. But I was like, you know what? One of the things this controller can do that my old one can't is Bluetooth connection, which means I can use it with my phone.
Yes.
And I've never been able to do that before.
So awesome.
So I connected it to my phone and used the Steam Link. So I was just cuddled up in bed and I was like, what can I play with a controller using the Steam Link? And I'm like, how does Gunfire Reborn play? So I booted up Gunfire Reborn on my phone using Steam Link and I was playing it with the controller and it was really fun.
Wow, that's so cool.
So I played that and then today.
But how did you like set, do you like have to balance your phone like on your leg or something and then like hold the controller over, or how did you do that part?
I was sitting like crisscross applesauce and it was just like on my thigh and just like looking at it.
Okay, so you're like sitting up in your bed.
Yeah.
Isn't your bed like a floor mat still basically?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was sleeping on the floor. On the Shiggy Bhutan?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I was just sitting on it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then I played it again. I was going to just talk about it on the podcast, but I played it again today before we got on the podcast. And man, I had two more runs that were just absolutely nuts. And I actually blew past the boss that destroyed us in a shocking amount of time with some very overpowered upgrades. And I'm now into the final area of the game where during the pre-stream on Twitch, I was playing there. You saw me absolutely destroying folks. And then I got one shot and just insta-died.
That is so sad.
Yes, but it just made me all the more excited to get back in. Actually, every time I play it, I like it more and I want to play it more. Whereas like the first time I was like, oh, this seems kind of fun. I think I'll keep playing it. But now I'm like, oh man, there's so much cool stuff in there to try. Like, can I tell you about some of the guns I found while I was playing on my own?
Yeah, yeah.
There's this one gun. It's my favorite one I've found the entire time, and it's a laser.
Ooh.
And if there's someone near in front of you, it's like the old Overwatch Symmetra where it locks on and it just continues to zap them. But
does it ramp up in damage also?
No, it's just the laser.
Okay.
You can right click and it shoots a little little dot that sticks to walls or sticks to people. And when you shoot the laser, if you have that dot out anywhere, the laser, no matter where it is, just homes in on the dot, even if it's across the entire map.
What?
So if there's like someone standing unaware, I can just like hit them in the head from really far away and then just bzz, and I just have a homing laser that hits them directly in the head, no matter where I'm aiming. It's
does it just absolutely broken on locked until they die?
Yes.
Whoa.
Like the first boss of the game, the big like monkey man, I just shot him in the head at the beginning of the fight. And then I just held down left click and dodged his attacks for the rest of the entire fight until I ran out of ammo. It was the best thing ever. It was great.
Holy smokes. Just wait until you get that in the chest at the beginning of a run.
I know. I'm going to love it so much. There was another one I got where after you beat the boss that we died at, you unlock a gun that is literally just a lizard. You're just holding it. It's just a lizard. And you squeeze it, and it shoots out a little lava burst. Uh-huh. And then you right-click in it, and you detonate it.
Oh, my. Okay.
So you're just firing off little lava grenades from this lizard. It's ridiculous. I love it.
Detonate the... How does that work, like, mechanically, I'm thinking, of, like, the lizard? Like, what... Maybe I should like what do you think about
what,
that?
What do you? I mean, to reload it, you just smack the lizard. So I don't know what you want out of this game.
That's awesome, man! I didn't know they had like such unique weapons.
Yeah,
I've only played like I think an hour, 84 minutes. Was it like an hour? It's like 2.5 hours, I'd say.
Okay,
I thought I had like experienced like all the guns. Where I thought just like this one goes pew pew. This one is a crossbow. It's cool to hear that there's like really unique weapons in there.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, and the thing is that you have to meet certain requirements to unlock a lot of things. And then once you meet those requirements, it drops you one immediately. And then becomes available to drop. So like, I think the guns that the game gives you in the beginning are more tame. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm like beating some of the later bosses and I'm fighting some of the later enemies, it's like, oh, I've killed this guy 10 times now. And you don't even see him until the second world. So now I'm getting a lot of the really cool guns. And, I still haven't even unlocked the second character. I'm still just playing as the cat.
Oh my goodness. They really make you play to unlock the characters.
Yeah, I mean, I got all the way to the last world and I got like 200 of the like run-to-run currency that you upgrade your characters with. Mm-hmm. And I only leveled up 3 times with it. And you need to be level 25 to get the second character.
Yikes, dog. Okay, what if you invested like all your points into like the bare minimum ones? You think
the
that
cheap
would...
ones? I could probably have the character by now.
Okay.
But I probably wouldn't be that much higher than I am right now, because everything you invest into gets more expensive with each point.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Okay.
Hmm.
Yep. Interesting.
It's just a game. It's a game you're meant to play a lot.
Well, good thing it's fun.
Yes. Yes.
And only $9 right now. When does that sale end, by the way? Do you know?
Yeah, I was saying that earlier. It was the 11th. That's Thursday.
Okay. So go pick up Gunfire Reborn, or you'll have to pay an extra $2.
Oh, no!
Well,
here's the thing, though. You can buy it, and then you can buy a copy for three of your friends, and then the $2 becomes $8 off.
Ooh.
Because you only spent $36 to buy it four times.
That is great logic. You know, I was at Target today, and they had a buy two board games, get one free. And I was like, this is wonderful. I can save like $25 mm-hmm. on a board game. And my friend was like, you know, Jordan, I can save you $50 by telling it, just don't buy any. And I was like, you're right. So I still wanted to do it, but I actually couldn't find a third game that I wanted to get for free. So
oh, no.
I ended up not doing it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I saved $50. Huzzah. Buy none, get none free.
I want to tell you this because I think you'll be excited by this. I also gifted a copy of Gunfire Reborn to friend of the podcast, Kyle, for his birthday.
Ooh, that's so exciting.
We might be able to convince him. And I know that him and his friends really like Risk of Rain.
Yes.
Which is pretty similar. So
absolutely. What's going to happen? He's going to play it with us once. He's going to tell his friends about it. They're going to run off and beat the game with 40 hours of gameplay in the first day. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do it. And then we're going to be sad.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's okay, because we'll get to play with him one time, which is worth the birthday present.
I got him the DLC for Aratus.
Oh, so, I didn't know there was DLC.
Yeah. So I hope he likes that. Anyways,
I have to admit,
happy birthday.
I still haven't even launched that Aratus Lord of the Dead since it went 1.0.
That game is fun. I have not actually either since it came out. But when I bought it back in beta, oh, so good. Very fun.
I'll mention real quickly on what I was talking about earlier with the controller stuff. So because I got this new controller, I wanted to try it out. And a lot of the games I've been playing recently have been on Switch, like Yu-Gi-Oh and Smash Bros and, Cyber Shadow, the ninja game. I was like, I'm going to get something that lets me use my controller on the Switch. And I found there's kind of two primary dongles out there, and I bought the Mayflash one, and it came in the mail, and I tried it out for the first time like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And it works well. It's kind of interesting. Like, playing the game, it seems pretty normal, except for the fact that because the Switch and the Xbox's buttons are switched around, I have to remember that.
Yes. So, like, oh, my word.
B is confirm, A is go back, that kind of thing, which is, like, that's just a me thing. I just got to get my brain wrapped around that. But the other thing is specifically on, like, getting the Switch to recognize it. So, like, you have to... It's a USB controller, according to the Switch, right? So you have to go into the settings and turn that on. I didn't even know you had to turn that on.
Mm-hmm. But just once, right?
Just once.
Okay.
And then it doesn't accept input from the USB controllers while it's locked. So if I'm sitting wanting to play the Switch and I boot up the Switch, I have to hit the power button on the Switch, and then I have to use the Switch controllers to unlock it. And then use the Xbox controller.
I didn't have to do that on mine. Well, did you get, maybe you get the 8-bit Do one? 8-bit Do?
No, the Mayflash one.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I don't know what the reason was, but either way, it wasn't working. And I think it might just be something with this device. But the other thing that the Switch, when it's docked, you can't use buttons on the controller that it's docked with.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I have to pull the controllers off of the dock Switch to unlock it and then use the Xbox controller that I wanted to use all along. But I'd used it to complete Cyber Shadow. I've beaten Cyber Shadow.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. There's only two levels left, and the last boss is a pain in the rear. I probably died 30 times. It's fun. Like, I enjoyed it. It was a good boss, but it's mm-hmm. very long and you have zero healing. Mm. So you have to go through the whole thing taking very little damage, and it's like a multi-stage boss.
Ooh.
And so as soon as you think you're done, you're like, oh, that's just one stage. Now I have to do the whole other stage with one hit point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I actually ended up beating it with one hit point.
Oh, nice. Dude, that's the best feeling ever. I love that.
I also lost at one point when the boss had one hit point. So that felt bad too. So it was a little revenge, but I don't know how I feel about that game. I will say one thing. I was having a lot of issues with the controls, and maybe actually switch back to the Switch controller. And it's because of what I mentioned before, that the dash is like a weird double tap thing.
Yeah.
And it really annoyed me. And
like double tapping with the joystick?
Yes.
Ugh. And can you use the D-pads?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was a little bit better, but it was still like a little finicky, and I would sometimes just be trying to move like with precision by tapping, and I would accidentally dash, or sometimes I would want to dash and I wouldn't hit it fast enough, and so I would just walk slowly and get hit by something, and that was annoying. And then literally during the last boss fight, after trying for probably 30 minutes to beat it, I got so frustrated with this dash thing, because it killed me, that I went back into the menus and I was trying to figure it out, and I discovered that you can just hit the L button to dash.
Oh, just basic game control. It's not even like something you enable or switch over to.
Correct. The only thing in the options is you can disable the double tap. And I was like, why would I ever do that? How
would
I
switch? Yeah,
I didn't know you could just hit the L button. And I learned it during the last boss fight, and it was the game felt so much better. Like that last boss fight, the controls felt so smooth, and it made everything feel better, and I was so bummed because I struggled with the controls for like that whole game, and I'm very bummed that I just didn't know about this one button.
I don't understand why you're bummed. Like, how is this any different from you playing all the other games in try hard mode? You're saying this, and I'm just like, yeah, that's Daniel. You know, you just didn't know it this time that you were doing try hard mode until the very end.
Try hard is when I know very well what I'm capable of. I just have to pull it off. Not, I intended to dash. I just failed because of the controls.
That's hilarious.
It's still a good game. I think overall, I probably still like the Messenger better, but I think they're trying to do different things. Like the Messenger it's bigger in scope. It's trying to do more things. And Cyber Shadow is just a pretty simple, like Shovel Knight. You got a certain number of levels to go through and you beat it and you're done, and it was fun.
Yeah. Like I said last time, it sounds like it's trying to be an old game, even in terms of annoying mechanics that wouldn't necessarily be things in new games.
Yep. Not much else to say there. The other thing I did on my Switch with my new controller was, I forgot to mention this last week, in addition to all the other Switch stuff I've been doing, I bought the new Smash Bros. Characters.
Awesome! Like the whole pack or just like the available ones? I assume the whole pack.
The whole pack. Yeah, okay, good. So I dropped money on the whole pack. I was kind of waiting until I wanted to play Smash Bros. Again, because I was like, I don't really care about Min Min that much.
Yeah.
And Steve looked cool, but not worth $30 when I'm not even playing it.
Don't say the Min Min thing too loud. Keaton might find you and then hunt you down and kill you. And turn you into noodles.
Well, he'll have to beat me at Smash first. But in the meantime, I tried Min Min, and I was like, I could see this being powerful, but not fun. She was not very fun.
Oh shoot!
She, like, her whole thing is just she punches very far, and like all of her attacks are various punching very far, and so it's like great for zoning and edge guarding and all the stuff that you need to do in Smash Bros. But there's like, it's not cool or fun. It's just like strategically good. But Steve was like a little too complicated with the mining and the building of your weapons.
Which is weird because he's complicated.
He's a little nuts. I don't know if I like him.
He's amazing. He's the only player I ever want to play ever in this game. It's just ever.
Well, I'm glad I have him in case you ever come visit, but I don't think I'm going to play him very much. Meanwhile, let me tell you about my boy Sephiroth. Have you played Sephiroth?
I have not.
Oh my goodness. He is the opposite of everything I've said so far. He is very fun. He is so good. I just picked him up randomly because I purchased him and I wanted to try him out. And like, I didn't know about some of his cool mechanics. I had to like go look them up on the wiki. And like, so do you know much about him as a Smash character?
No, I watched the video that they talked about him, but I was so like mentally distanced by his character origin that I wasn't paying much attention.
His character origin being Japan.
Yeah, sorry, not origin. Character design, character, you know. It's fine.
I like his sword. His sword is very long. That's his biggest thing.
I remember that being a thing. Very long sword. And there's like a sweet point, right, on it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And I like sword characters. Like, Link was my first main character. I think I've played a lot more of Banjo and Kazooie recently, but Link is definitely my backup. So I'm kind of familiar with spacing out things with the sword, and his sword is so long that you just space the whole side of the map. They just can't get anywhere near there because you have this giant sword.
That sounds
nice.
And
his special abilities are really, really cool. He's got a really good projectile that is versatile because you can change how far it goes, and then the shorter it is to you, the longer you hold it down, so you can kind of like let them get closer, but then they risk getting hit with a more powerful projectile. And fully charged, it can just destroy a shield in one hit, which is glorious. It's very strong. And then he kind of has like a Joker mechanic, like a comeback mechanic, where after a while he gets buffed. So once he gets damaged to a certain point, and that point is around 80%, but it goes up or down depending on if you're winning or not. So it's if you're winning, it's harder to get. If you're losing, it's easier to get. But once you hit this like 80% mark, he sprouts his one wing and he goes into his one wing form, and you just get a bunch of buffs. So like your launching power is increased by like 30%. You get an extra jump because you have a wing.
And
he gets armor on his smash attacks, so you can't knock him out of his smash attacks, which is scary because
he hits with the sword too, like the length of the sword.
Yeah, because they're long, they hit really hard, and his launch rate is increased, so they hit even harder, and so he can just annihilate you. It's crazy.
But it does go away with the first kill you get, right? Or is that not a thing?
It goes away at some point. I don't know why. So okay. You're probably right.
I think it's the second you get a kill with it, you're back to normal.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a good way of balancing it, honestly, with how powerful you're making it sound like. I guess
it's fun for sure. I like him even when he doesn't have that, but that's a nice little bonus. And so I picked him up. I was playing him a bunch against the computers to get like used to his controls. And then I was like, okay, I just want to challenge myself. So I'm just going to jump into classic mode to get some practice. Completely forgot that he has like a very unique classic mode where it's a boss rush. It's every boss in the game back to back. So you're fighting, you know, Ganon and the Rathalos and the weird Kirby boss and like the one from Smash Bros. Brawl, like all back to back. And it was nuts. And I got away from that on my first try, getting a 9.9 in classic mode. And I can't believe that.
That's insane.
It was so good. I really like him.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Yep.
You know, I watched a Smash video this week about a mod someone made for I think Smash Bros. Melee.
Okay.
Where they put in one of the Among Us peeps, one of the Among Us little beans.
They did
such a good job. Like they actually fleshed out every single attack move. Like, you know, you had your jump attack behind you, you know, up attack, down attack, and they were all like different animations. And they were all taken from the game, too. And he had, like, a long-range gun from the gun animation they take. And the smash move, when you hit someone with it, had, like, everyone in the middle of the map, like, talking to each other. And then it had the person who used the smash move get ejected. And then that, like, hurt the person that you used it on. It was really cool. I showed it to Miranda because she loves Among Us so much. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, it was such a cool mod. Like I wish that there was an easier way to put mods into these games, but you know, Nintendo doesn't like mods.
Well, if it had a Final Smash, that sounds like the Wii version, and I have a Wii with homebrew software on it.
Okay, it might have been the Wii one then. It was just an older one. And it looked like butts. You know what? It did look like butts, but it wasn't like GameCube butts, so I think you're right.
That's how you gauge it.
Yes. Yep. And I was thinking the other day, speaking of Among Us, I'm actually I'm looking forward to when the new map comes out.
Okay.
So that I can play it and my friends can't be tryhards. So I can still like have fun and stuff when I don't remember what the tasks are called or where they're at. Or people won't know, oh, you don't have that one because everyone else gets designated this one super task from this list that I memorized. And because it wasn't on this list, therefore you were faking it. Blah, 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 blah. I like making games not fun anymore, Jordan. And I'm like, well, excuse me.
You're complaining about people understanding what a common task is. That's just a basic part of the game.
This game, it needs a shuffle function where I don't know, it shuffles the tasks to different rooms, maybe even shuffle the rooms around. I would love that if they could get it to a way where people can't use their ability to memorize large amounts of information against me. I would have a lot more fun, methinks. So for a short while, I'm very much looking forward to the airship map which will probably last like an hour before everyone starts memorizing things.
You just need the Among Us randomizer mod or something.
Probably. I wouldn't put it past them adding that at some point.
Because they, be cool.
They seem very good developers wanting to add stuff to make the game better and whatnot. They're just very overloaded.
Yes, very suddenly, 3 years after the game got released, they're just like in very high demand.
Uh-huh. It's crazy.
That's the end of my Switch stuff. Sephiroth is fun. Smash Bros. Is fun. It was weird playing with the Elite controller because I wasn't used to having actual triggers for the shield. Because on the Switch, you just have button triggers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so to have a trigger, you have to like pull down. I ended up doing with the Elite controller, you can do those hairpin triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do that because it basically just treats it like a button at that point. So
the thing is the best. I love that. I love the Elite. Hopefully it won't have the same problems that the first one had, but only time will tell. Like, I mean, they got sued multiple times over the quality of the first one with how much it kept breaking.
Oh, I mean, the bumpers was the only time mine broke, and that was like 6 years after I got it, so I had no problem with it.
I think it might have been a drifting problem with the first one.
Oh, that makes sense.
I repaired
the bumper myself before I sold the first one. It was actually pretty easy. It was fun.
Yeah, I remember you sending me photos of that. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to talk about?
No.
Okay. I'm going to hit you up with one more surprise here that I don't know if you saw this when I was playing it on Steam, but the other night I was just looking for something to do with my controller, and I wanted something simple and fun that I didn't have to like think about a whole lot or learn a bunch of new mechanics, and I was like, I'm going to play Doom. So... I just booted up Doom for the first time. I bought it, I think, last summer, the same time I bought Titanfall all those months ago, Doom from 2016, the reboot. And I was like, you know what? Let's just jump in and try it. And so I jumped in and tried it, and that is a fun game. It's fun to shoot things.
I'm sure
it's
fun to run beautiful, around. Too.
Yes, I have it on. I didn't put it on, like, ultra, but I put it on high, and I was getting my full, like, 144 frames, and it was just fast. And
beautiful, tasty,
great. Yes,
patient playing.
I'm sure I will
doing
continue
love in hell. Sure.
Oh no! I don't think anything that Doom Guy is doing could be called love in any way.
Oh, you know, I'd say putting something out of its misery is can be considered loving in a Switch.
They're not miserable. They're invading Mars.
Not? Oh, Mars.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, Doom's
about
on Mars.
The Doom story.
Yes. There are hell portals on Mars.
I mean, just like in real life, honestly. Let's be honest. That's why we don't go to Mars, kids.
I haven't played a first-person shooter with a controller like on computer in a very, very long time. I think I've played, you know, I've played stuff on PlayStation that had shooting controls and was on a controller because it had to be. But I was like, I want to use my new controller. I want to sit backwards in my chair and relax. And I did that. You know how in tutorials, they're always like, oh, by the way, push the stick forward to walk. And you're like, ugh. And they're like, push this button to jump and climb the cliff. And you're like, ugh. And they're like, push this button to crouch. And you're like, ugh. And then you finally get to play the game.
Yep.
So I didn't do any of that. And I was very grateful.
Oh, okay.
Up until about an hour in, when I was like, all right. I've spent 15 minutes looking for where to go next. I am completely stuck. I found a secret corridor that had some armor and ammo in it, and it looks like I'm supposed to go down the secret corridor, and there even looks like an area I could go into, but it's too small, and there's no crouch in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up the controls, and I was looking around. I was hitting all the bumpers, hitting down on the D-pad, clicking in on the sticks. No crouch. And I was like, that's fine. This game doesn't need a crouch. But I don't know where to go. And
is there
I spent
a crawl or something?
I spent so long. It's just the B button. The B button is crouch.
Wait, just click it? What?
You just click the B button and you crouch.
Oh.
I don't know why that's the crouch button. I've never played a game where B is the crouch button in a shooter. It's always like clicking in the right stick or the left stick or like the D-pad or something. But no, it's just B. And I just had never hit the B button. And because they didn't have like the jump here, crouch here, move here.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're done with the tutorial. I just didn't think there was a crouch in the game, and I got stuck because of it. And I'm like, I'm an idiot gamer.
Weird. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think of games that I played where B is crouch.
Well, and I was like, surely there has to be a crouch because it looks like I can go through this little hole. So I switched to the keyboard and I hit control, which is like the universal crouch button,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the control is the throw grenade button. And so I'm just standing there looking at a wall and my character just yucks a grenade. I was like, oh no.
Turns out, what was the crouch button on keyboard?
The letter C.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
I know, right? Like, it didn't make any sense to me.
Oh, nasty.
But the next fight, I was like, okay, how are the keyboard controls? Because I like to have precision aim. So I like tried one fight with keyboard and it felt really good. And then it was like, I was tired of navigating with keyboard. And I think what I might do is like in the intense fights where I'm shooting, I'll use keyboard and mouse. And then when I'm doing like the platforming or exploring, I'll just use my controller.
Oh my.
And just switch back and forth. Cause it feels more comfortable to hold the controller to move around.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you're trying to snap around and hit someone with a shotgun and that keyboard's just, you can't beat mouse. It's too good.
Yeah. Did you feel maybe less try-hardy when you were aiming and shooting with the controller for the short time that you did use it?
I don't really ever feel try-hardy, so I don't know what you're accusing me of here.
Just like lower in skill and being okay with it.
I mean, well, I did pick the default difficulty.
Oh, okay.
There was like a story casual mode. Mm-hmm. There was the suggested mode. There was like hard mode for a challenge, and then there were locked modes, which was nightmare. And there was,
I'm sorry, hold on. There's a story mode for Doom.
Well, it's not called that. It's called.
Okay.
They all have like funny names, but the description.
Experience the story of Doom today.
The descriptions are just like, you know, for people who enjoy like relaxing and experiencing the story, not like doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not challenging themselves really hard. So there's a locked one that's nightmare. You have to beat the game to get. And then there's like an even harder one, which is just nightmare. But if you die, it's like hardcore. You reset
Holy
the whole game.
Holy smokes.
And then besides those like locked ones, there's just easy, medium, hard. And it defaulted to medium. And I was like, I just want to play something simple. I'm just going to select medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. So does that answer your question?
No. No, I was just, remember the time I mentioned when I played Overwatch on my controller because I didn't want to be like hyper involved, you know, and I like tried explaining it to you and it sounded like you didn't really get what I was trying to say with it. So I didn't know if you had like a similar feeling, you know.
Well, I can know like physically a controller is more relaxing because you can sit back.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I can get that. But not like mentally being less involved. I mean,
oh,
you still
really?
Have to think about what's going on.
I feel like when I'm using a controller, I'm just like, I've placed a cap on myself that is literally like unbeatable. Like I could switch over to a harder difficulty of aim, but it is more relaxing to know that there's a cap there. If I can only do so good on this thing I'm holding in my hands with, you know, movement and spin and whatnot.
It's like a mental limiter that tells you are going to be terrible either way.
Yeah. And it's like, it was like weirdly relaxing. It's like, I have to be doing this just to have fun because I cannot literally like go into overdrive if I want to, and then like be mad when I don't live up to any expectations of going into overdrive. It's like, duh, 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 I'm just using a controller, you know? It's like, I don't want to play baseball. I want to play softball where the ball is like twice as big, you know? Like, no offense to softball players out there. If you love softball, that's great. But the ball is bigger, which makes it easier to catch, I imagine.
So I'm wondering, like, I feel like this is just a Band-Aid that's on top of a problem that could be solved in a more permanent way by just, like, letting yourself chill while playing a game.
But I want to win. When it's just me playing on my own, I want to win. When I'm with friends, I'm like, we're having a good old time. When it's me, I'm like, I gotta win. And then my team lets me down. I'm like, these stupid dummies are not doing their part. You know, I'm sitting there with 4 golds in Overwatch, and I'm like, I'm a healer. What is going on? I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to get my wins and my loot boxes. So,
Maybe the deeper wound here is more about like playing games to get loot boxes.
I like getting loot boxes.
I know.
I did play Overwatch this week. That's one of the few games I did play this week.
Oh, cool. How'd that go?
I had fun.
I didn't use keyboard and mouse.
And oh, so you
did,
try hard.
I did. Yes, I did. It was my version of try hard mode. Mm-hmm. I did have the majority of golds on every game. Thank you very much.
Were you doing the roll queue stuff?
No, I was doing classic quick play.
Okay.
Because I want to get the arcade boxes at the same time.
Okay.
But, wow, the new assassin mode I was telling you about feels so bad. You would probably love it. You would probably love it. But it's weird because I still like the free-for-all modes. I can play them before and I'm like, okay, that was fun. Maybe I was just having a bad night in like terms of aim. I was having a terrible time. And it's also really stressful because when you're in the lead, everyone can see you through walls from anywhere. So when you're winning, it's like, oh, five other people are right behind you now trying to kill you all at the same time. They don't care about each other. They want you specifically. And like, I would get in the lead and immediately lose it because I would turn the corner and someone's like, I'm gonna kill you. It was terrible. And like, and then sometimes they do kill each other because like you're running after the main guy and someone's next to you. They're like, no, he's mine. Like trying to kill you so they can get to him first.
Right.
Or like trying to steal the kill. It was stressful. I played a few rounds and I was like, I'm done. Goodbye. Nope. No more.
See, I love the gun game where you change heroes every kill. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I play those games so spread out. I don't really main characters very often.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch or anything, or Smash Bros, anything that has like a ton of characters, I jump around constantly. So then all of a sudden, if you throw me into a game where it's like, hey, this depends on your skill with every character in the game, I'm like, great. I will switch on a dime and I will remember the strategies of how to play this hero. Even to the point where like in that gun game, I'll be shooting someone as one character, get the kill, switch, and then like turn around and get a kill with that next character immediately. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah, I'm glad they put that game mode in Overwatch at all. Because I remember when people are asking for it, and I'm so glad they actually added it, and it actually is pretty fun.
Well, the first time I played it was just like a workshop that someone had made, and I was having a blast with it. And the fact that they made it official was great.
Yes. Yes, it is. Is that about all you played this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. Gunfire, the Switch, Doom, all that stuff.
Nice.
Shall we jump into the best part of the podcast?
Well, just a second. I've still been playing my Animal Crossings. My new game plus.
Yep. Oh.
Oh?
Your new game plus.
My new game plus. Because I last time when we were talking about it, I forgot to mention, like, I have four characters on my main island, and they're all me.
Like, wait.
You know? Wait. Like, I've already, like, technically played the game, like, three times over.
Wait.
A little bit.
Mostly don't you have to have space for all their houses then?
Yeah, so I have four houses that are all mine on my main island. So really, this is like new game plus two, if you will.
Wait, no, you can't just move on past that. Wait, I never knew that. So I can get starting over on a new island, but why would you start a new character on the same island?
Because I wanted more housing space. I wanted to decorate more rooms. And mostly it was the storage size. This was back before they increased the storage size in the game. So I literally ran out of storage and I was like, I want to keep all this furniture.
Wait, there's like that ethereal storage for when you just walk in your house, you can just dump stuff into a big vat. You're telling me that's not unlimited?
It's not. No, I think it was 1400 and I had filled up 1400 with clothes because I loved collecting the clothes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I have no room for my furniture because it's full of clothes in here. So I'm going to make another house and have that be like a showcase house of my furniture. And then I made the third one. I was like, I'll put all my bug statues and my fish statues in here. And then the fourth one, I was like, I'll put all my DIYs in here because you can't put those in storage, Daniel. Mm-mm. You can't put your DIYs in storage.
Why would you ever? I mean, why would
exactly.
you ever need to?
So you place them in your house. And then the game very kindly reminds you when your house gets evaluated, hey, you have stuff lying around. You should put that in your storage. It literally says that, and you literally cannot put spare DIYs in your storage. Anyways, Island 2 has been great. The town hall is being upgraded today.
Okay.
That's all I got on that. And I played more Sackboy this week also.
has girlfriend of the podcast Miranda done anything on the on her own island
no,
this week?
She's not.
She's completely no, no more
I,
building snowmen.
Actually, I don't leave the Switch Lite at her house anymore because I've been having so much fun playing Animal Crossing on it. And I know she's not going to be using it. You know, occasionally she would play like Wheel of Fortune on it, maybe some Mario Kart. And I'll leave it there again once I'm done with my Animal Crossing 2 adventures.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, for now it's back here.
Animal Crossing Old Horizons.
Yes. Newer Horizons.
No, it's the same Horizons.
Mm-hmm. But that's been fun. But yeah, Sackboy is also... We picked up more Sackboy this week. We're on the final world. The levels are getting very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Oh, okay. Like, yes. Like, more than like a... Because I always picture those games will stay like... capable, like a child capable difficulty.
Yes, it's getting to the difficulty where we played it and Miranda was getting a little frustrated. Aww. by the end of it. Yeah, it made me sad, but I kept saying like, I'm sorry, it's like the final world, you know, it's like they want it to be,
they really gotta test you.
Yeah, it's gotta be challenging at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But she did great, she did wonderful. I had a blast. I think she had a blast too. We're like two levels away from beating the game, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But really playing it is just making me excited for Friday when Mario 3D World comes out.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Are you day one purchase on that? You're not patient playing it?
I am not patient playing. Well, yeah, I'm not patient playing, even though I played it 7 years ago. I'm not patient playing it. I'm getting this sucker.
Well, you so also excited. Know that you like it already. That's a different case.
I do, especially with friends. I already told Miranda and her brothers. I was like, guys, we're playing this on Friday, right? I'm going to bring it over. Do you want to play it? And one of them was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's going to be fun. So excited.
Oof. Cool. So that'll take us to our final section of the podcast, questions and answers. And we're going to start off with an email here coming from our favorite guest star, one Keaton, who has emailed us today in response.
Who has very, very specifically emailed us late in the episode. So I'm very excited to see why he's been like holding off on sending this.
All right, so let's see what Keaton has to say for us today. Keaton begins, dearest and besterest friends, aww, is none other than your good friend Keaton. I have calmed down a bit since last week, and I've decided to only hack into your emails this week as normal. Now, still give the email a kiss, though. That part will never change. Or he gave the email a kiss, my bad. Anyways, Mr. Daniel Podcast asked me a question last week. That question being whether he should play...
No, that was the question.
The question being whether he should play Earthbound. No, I don't think that game has aged very well, personally.
Oh.
Mother 3 is mwah, fantastic, but Earthbound has always felt really janky to me. I feel like it's the Mario 64 of RPGs. Everybody recommends it because of how important it was, but it just hasn't aged as well as people would like to believe it has. I will give it props for trying to have its own identity instead of just being another Dungeons & Dragons fantasy world. But now is the time for you to shut your mouth and listen. You see, I played and beat Omori, and I have thoughts. This is the horror game he was showing us
last week,
right? That he was very excited about.
He played and sort of beat it.
I unfortunately cannot tell you these thoughts because the game cannot be discussed without spoilers. However, I can't not talk about it or I will explode. So instead, I opted to buy both of you the game. Please feel free to
hold
play
on,
it.
Hold on.
At your leisure.
Steam is open in the background of my computer. It just, as you read that, it says you have received a gift. He waited to send this, so right as you were reading it, he just bought it from us.
But know that for every week that you don't play the game, it's 1 week closer to me driving to both of your houses and giving you a big sloppy kiss and then exploding. Love and explosive kisses, Keaton. Wait, do I have Steam open? One new item in my inventory.
I can't, Keaton, you mad man.
Wait, I don't have a notification. No. Where's my inventory? I received a gift. There it
Jergen,
is.
Jergen, receive or Keaton explode. Kablam, Kleblin.
Mine just says Din Splode Best Witches Get.
I was not ready for this.
Oh my goodness. What? I will point out, Keaton, we have shared games on Steam with each other before. I appreciate the gift a lot, but you didn't have to buy the game twice.
You know, if anything, this makes me a little concerned. When we talked about it last week,
wasn't it like a psychedelic horror anime game?
Yes, I saw it and I was like, is this going to be like the next Undertale? And because I had no idea what Undertale was going into it. And Keaton also bought me Undertale 5 years ago or 6 years ago. He said, okay, have you heard of this? I said, no. He said, don't see anything. I'm going to buy it for you and you're going to play it. And I was like, okay. And I loved it.
I will warn you, Keaton, that Jordan dislikes horror themes so much that he had a hard time sleeping after hearing Marion talk about the horror game she was playing on Discord. He just heard some of the things she was talking about, and it bothered him.
That's fair. How scary? No regretty, says Keaton. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, Keaton, now I'm asking you the question, how, like, what kind of horror is it? Is it, I assume, not jump scares. Maybe there's a few jump scares.
It's probably, like, disgusting psychological stuff.
That is, oh my goodness.
Okay, so
he's played 61 hours.
Whoa! Didn't it just come out last week? Whoa!
Keaton, have you been placing your manga on hold to play this game instead? It's like IB? What's IB?
I don't know what IB stands for.
Or Witch's House level of horror, kinda. Less jump scares. Okay.
Okay, so this game,
I need to play during the day, I'm assuming.
So this game is Omori, for anyone who is interested. Jordan and I don't know if it's good. Keaton says we have to play it. Tune in next week, I'm sure, and we will have at least first impressions of Omori.
The feed for the game is just, Keaton got these achievements, these achievements, these achievements, these achievements, these achievements.
What if the achievements have spoilers? Don't look at it.
Well, most of them are hidden. It says keep playing to discover this achievement.
Oh, okay.
So appreciate it. It's 2 gigabytes?
Well, before I download it and ruin the stream quality, we should probably wrap up the podcast.
Oh, that's fair. I just already started downloading it, and I'm...
Well, your internet
I'm
is streaming perfectly fine.
Stream. Oh, okay. Wow, Keaton, thank you for the question and GIF segment, I guess. There were no answers to be had. There's just there wasn't even a question, was there?
He answered my question and then bought us a game.
So the gifts and answers segment. Sponsor this episode brought to you by Keaton. Quite literally.
Wow, thank you, Keaton. I'll buy you a copy of Gunfire Reborn, but I don't think you like playing shooters, so I don't know if that would go over well.
Did you listen to the episode with me and him talking about shooters?
No, I need to. I need to get caught back up.
Okay. He said he doesn't really like both, but specifically he doesn't like online multiplayer. So I think might be more inclined to play a local, or not local, just a PvE with your friends game. But maybe
I don't think that Keaton enjoys interacting with other people.
Oh, sure he does.
In video games, he prefers the single player, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but this would be with single player with friends. Keaton loves Minecraft. What are you talking about? Me and Keaton have been playing Minecraft
But does Keaton like playing Minecraft with other people, or does he just like playing Minecraft and other people happen to be there?
I think. Oh, that's interesting. You had me until that last part. Steam has finished downloading Omori. Thank you, Steam.
Well, I guess do you want to wrap up our podcast here? We can continue this discussion in our post stream. Maybe boot up some of this game.
I guess. Yep. I am.
Or play Gunfire.
Speechless.
Or something.
Wow. I am speechless.
Alrighty. Thank you, Keaton. Whew. We will have. Stay tuned next week. I'm sure we will have things to talk about with Omori. I will make sure that I get some Omori in this week, at the very least.
If it's, like, level-based, I assume it's not level-based, but to the point where, like, an obvious checkpoint, I guess we could play it to where we both, like, get to the same point at the same time. Maybe that would be kind of fun.
Maybe?
You know, one of us doesn't,
so
go ahead.
So that we can check in. Yeah,
so it's, like, I played up until this achievement, and then I stopped, and then I'll, like, wait for the other person to get to that point.
I don't know.
It might be fun also to have one of us know what's coming and the other one to not know what's coming at all. What we can do, you know what we can do? We can treat this almost like a book club. So like we can have, we can say, you know, we just got Amori. Keaton has Amori. A few other people could pick up Amori if they wanted to. And how about we say like, I don't know how long the game is if Keaton's put 60 hours into it, but maybe in like a month or two, we have like a special Amori spoiler cast episode where we just talk about the game.
Wow. Welcome to the Amori Book Club.
We can invite Keaton in and I'll discuss the game in great length with spoilers galore.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. If you're new to the podcast, again, we're kind of a small operation here, so we really appreciate you joining us and participating. You can get more of that over at patientplayers.com/listen. We do have a community Discord that Jordan and I run. We're on there quite frequently playing games and sharing things, so you can jump in there and get a taste yourself. In the meantime, we ask if you really liked the podcast, go ahead and share it with someone who you think would like it, someone who likes games, who
share it
likes
with someone
our kind
you
of
love.
Humor. Yes, because at Patient Players, we do love. I don't know if you know this, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I've been thoroughly loved for 70 episodes worth. Maybe 68.
Oh, because you weren't there for a few, or just there were some that weren't very loving?
Yeah, no, because I wasn't there for a few, and you weren't there for one, you know, so.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Actually, no, Keaton had me thoroughly loved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. For the ones that I haven't been there.
Okay. Anyways, so yeah, if you could, the best way for small podcasts like us to grow are going to be ratings on the podcast services. So if you haven't already, doing like a 5-star rating over on iTunes and Spotify and anywhere that you listen to the podcast, on YouTube as well, that's a good way. And then directly sharing it with someone, just letting them know that it's a good podcast, sharing your favorite episode with them. We have the best of podcast from the end of last year, which is fantastic. Honestly, I think last week's was one of my favorite episodes in a very long time. So episode 69 would be a great one to shout out to people. But in the meantime, thank you guys for listening to this episode, and we will see you either on the after stream live on Twitch if you're joining us there, or on next week's episode.
Sounds good.
Adios, everyone.
See you guys later.
Bye.